Our scripture reading this morning can be found in Luke 19, verses 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has even ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we pray? Thank you for bringing us to this Palm Sunday, Lord. And we live in times in which we don't take things for granted. You have brought us to another Palm Sunday in our lives. And you will be bringing us this coming week to another Good Friday and to another Easter Sunday. And thank you, Lord, that we were able to celebrate Christmas in December. In other words, Lord, you have blessed us so that we are here alive and kicking today. Thank you. So we pray, Lord, that you will inject your life into us right now as we try to make sense of these words we have just read. We want to confess to you that we are people who are blind. We find it difficult to see your light. We also want to confess to you that we are a proud people. We do not want to humble ourselves before the mighty word of God. So we pray that you will shine your light on us, and we pray that you will melt our hearts down so that we will understand the truth that you have in store for us here. And we grab hold of these words this morning, Lord, that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people said, Amen. As Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a colt, as Luke says, but in the other Gospels, it is said that he rides on a donkey. Colt or donkey, it is not a stallion. The people put their cloaks on the road, and they either put the palm branches on the road, or they wave palm branches at Jesus. Now, palm branches the national symbol of Israel. And if I were to ask you all today, think of the maple leaf, you immediately think Canada. So in the biblical record, when you think of palm branches, it speaks of a king, the king of Israel, the national king. Now, the greatest king in the Old Testament was King David, and King David made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. So, therefore, people hail Jesus as the king as he rides on a colt into David's Jerusalem. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. However, the Jewish religious leadership, those who are in charge of the temple in Jerusalem, have problems with these cries that are given in the honor of Jesus as he rides that donkey, that colt, into Jerusalem. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "even if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now, in some ways, I can understand why the temple religious leadership or the Pharisees are concerned about Jesus calling Jesus, about the people calling Jesus as king. Jerusalem at that time, and you got to remember, this is AD 30. Jerusalem at that time is under the rule of the emperor of Rome. Caesar is Lord. Jesus is not. So it is not proper for the disciples of Jesus to hail Jesus as king because there is the Roman governor in Jerusalem staying there on behalf of the emperor of Rome. But you know, as we have read the New Testament, as we have read the Gospels, we know that there's a battle between the Jewish temple religious leadership on one hand and Jesus on the other hand. And it is a battle for the hearts and the minds of the people. So therefore, there is an ulterior motive for this Jewish temple leadership to voice their objections against the calling of Jesus as king. And it's eventually this religious temple leadership that gets the help of the Romans and Pontius Pilate to put Jesus on the cross. So, why do the people wave palm branches and put their cloaks on the road? When he came near to the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, Matthew 19 verse 37, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen Jesus do. So the people have seen Jesus open the eyes of the blind, raise people from the dead, and make the lame to walk. But more importantly, Jesus teaches with authority. He teaches life into the people. So in Luke 19, just the early part of this chapter that Nancy wrote for us, Jesus meets this most despised tax collector named Zacchaeus, and Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," for Jesus, his other title is the Son of Man, "has come to seek and to save the lost." Jesus breathes life, the life of God, into the words of scriptures. And so people hail Jesus as king because he heals and he saves. However, Jesus also brings a challenge to the Jewish religious leadership as he rides into Jerusalem on that donkey. His presence disturbs them because his teaching is different in style and content from this religious leadership. But let us not stop there. Jesus also disturbs us. He challenges us because Jesus, he's the king, he wants to build his kingdom in our lives, in our hearts. And what do we as selfish people do? We want to build our kingdom in our lives. I'm sure you are familiar with this kind of occurrence. When our family goes on holiday, we stay at the hotels. And at the hotels, we would camp in that room for a few days or a week. And sometimes we would leave that mess in the bathrooms and have things all over the place. But before we leave to go out for the day, our whole family is trying to make it tidy so that when the cleaning person comes in, they won't have too much work to do. But whatever we do, it's still leaving some sweater on the bed or towels all over the place in the bathrooms. And still we leave the place in a bit of a mess. So we leave for a day, and when we come home, or if you could say a hotel room at home, but when we come back to the hotel room, it's incredible. The room is all now clean and the bathrooms tidy with those new towels in the racks. The cleaning person would come and clean our mess up and tidy our rooms. That's what Jesus the King does with our lives. We need to prepare room in our hearts for Him and let Him enter. And when Jesus the King rides that donkey into our lives, He's going to clean up our mess and tidy the rooms in our hearts. And notice that Jesus is a king, but He doesn't ride on a great stallion. He rides on a colt. He rides on a donkey. Jesus' work in us is as subtle as riding on a donkey. He invades us when we least expect Him. And then when He comes in, He cleans up all our mess. And sometimes when He cleans up the mess of our lives, let's face it, it is painful. It is painful for us. And when He does it, He doesn't do it immediately so that tomorrow we can go out into the world as new persons. When Jesus comes and builds His kingdom in our lives, He does it ever so slowly. He does it ever so slowly, but He does it effectively, and there is pain involved. Today is traditionally called Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. This is because they put palm branches on the road, or they wave palm branches to celebrate the royal position of Jesus. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And some people call this entry by Jesus into Jerusalem the triumphant procession of Jesus, or the triumphant entry of Jesus. However, as we read this passage, as Jesus enters Jerusalem as a king, He is far from being triumphant. He is far from putting on a celebratory mood. Luke tells us He walks down from the Mount of Olives as He enters Jerusalem. And as He walks down the Mount of Olives, and as He looks at Jerusalem in front of Him, you know what Jesus does? He cries. He weeps. He sees a horrible picture of Jerusalem. As He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side." And next comes the most distressing part of Jesus' words. "They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." These are the words of Jesus as He enters Jerusalem as a king on a donkey. And this is about AD 30. In 40 years, in AD 70, the Romans will encircle Jerusalem, and they will come in, and as they come in, they will burn the temple and burn the city down, and they will harm the people and the children of Jerusalem. And somehow, Jesus can look into the future 40 years from now, and as he looks at this picture, he cries, he weeps, he grieves over the future of Jerusalem. Jesus is the king riding on a donkey into the Jerusalem, and the donkey does not symbolize a very powerful king. As Jesus invades, if you can call it invasion, as Jesus invades Jerusalem, his victorious celebration is to grieve, is to cry, is to weep for Jerusalem's future. He sees through the celebration of the day to the future pain and suffering of Jerusalem. This is the king who invades our lives. This is the king who wants to come into our lives and tidy up the mess in our lives. And as he does it, he grieves for us. He weeps for us. He cries for us. So, here are the palm branches that remind us that it is the king coming into the city of Jerusalem. Now, it is not practiced in our church, but in some churches, do you know what they do with the palm branches that are used on a Palm Sunday? They burn the palm branches. And after burning the palm branches, they store it. And what do they do with these ashes? They use it on the Ash Wednesday of the coming year. So in other words, the palm branches that are burnt into ashes is reserved for the Ash Wednesday of 2020. And you know what they do on an Ash Wednesday in some churches. People come to the church and they come forward and they take the ashes and they put it in a sign of a cross on those Ash Wednesdays. So that is what the palms branches of Palm Sunday are used for, to become ashes on Ash Wednesday. So Ash Wednesday starts the Lent season when we trace the journey of Jesus and finally to the cross on Good Friday. Jesus is the king riding on the donkey because he is the king who doesn't go to the throne. He is the king who goes to the cross. That is the king who comes to us on the Palm Sunday. And you know why he dies on the cross? He dies on the cross to secure for us God's forgiveness for our sins. And that is why he is grieving. He is grieving for our lost situation. He is grieving for the messy lives that we have created ourselves. And he grieves over it, and he wants to go to that cross in our place. And so because Jesus goes to the cross, God can forgive us. Because of Jesus on the cross, God says, I forgive you. We're going to read these verses this coming Friday, Good Friday. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus goes to the cross. And as he goes to the cross from that Palm Sunday, he weeps for us. He cries for us because he knows of our lost situation, of our messed up situation. And he wants to go to the cross so that God can say to each one of us, I forgive you. And so in a moment, we are going to partake of this meal. And this meal celebrates, if I could even use that expression, or commemorates what Jesus dies on the cross for. What Jesus does as he goes to the cross. Father, let us be mindful as we enter this holy week, that it is a serious week, that we reflect over what Jesus will do. He now enters Jerusalem on a Palm Sunday. People are so victorious, but he knows and he weeps for Jerusalem and he weeps for us because he has to go to the cross for us. So we pray now, Lord, that as we partake of this meal, as we enter this moment in which we prepare ourselves for this meal, we pray, Lord, that we will remember that Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed on the cross for you. In Jesus' name do we pray, and the people said, Amen.